It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. For many Pennsylvania children, school is out for summer, and for the most part, they are happy to get a break from rules and tests. But few of them have any idea just why they are looking at 3 months vacation. As part of our Life of Learning initiative, 90.5 WESA's Mark Neutbar tried to answer that question.
By the time June rolls around, kids are ready for summer to begin.
Yeah!
Pretty much. I'll go outside, have fun, hug my little brother.
I won't even turn the game off.
But take a moment to ask yourself how the tradition of summer vacation began.
I think it was agricultural, wasn't it? I mean, that's probably the season at some point in time, a few generations ago anyway, when people would have the time off just for agricultural reasons.
Well, no, actually I don't. I know that the planting and harvesting had something to do with how they set schools up, I think. But it doesn't seem like we need that at all anymore. I've heard that's true. I guess that's true.
There is some truth to that idea expressed by Warren Sullivan of Hermitage, Pennsylvania, and Rush Hodgkin of Indiana Township. But it's not exactly right. In rural areas of the country, the first schools took breaks in the spring for planting and the fall for the harvest. But the kids found themselves in front of their hornbooks, a sort of school iPad for the 19th century, all summer long when the plants were maturing. City kids were more likely to be out of school in the summer months, according to Heinz History Center curator of history, Leslie Sibilic. But even there, it was unusual.
You had students, in effect, going to school year-round with breaks every quarter, and they sometimes, technically speaking, had a much longer school calendar, as many as 245 to 260 days.
So how did we get to where we are today? For that, we have to look beyond the schoolroom doors. In the early 1800s, the idea of taking a vacation was something that only the social elite even considered. But that began to change with the establishment of the middle class and white-collar work.
There were some medical theories that suggested that while manual laborers, that is kind of the tradition of how people worked. So if you're working on a farm, do you really need a vacation? But if you were doing mainly brain work, there were a lot of theories that suggested that you could not do that all the time without kind of harming an individual or a child. And so the idea of giving people a break was connected with that.
Access to the countryside opened up as the use of trains expanded and the idea of summer vacation took root. About the same time, education reformers began to push for mandatory school attendance in standardized schools, which logically led to the need for a standardized school year.
Attendance wasn't mandatory, so you might have students who would be there for a while, and then they wouldn't be there, and then they would be there, and then you would have a much smaller class. So that idea about how do we even standardize a school calendar was really part of the discussion before the idea of summer vacation emerged.
In 1895, Pennsylvania became one of the first states to mandate school attendance, and a summer break was institutionalized. Megan Newsom is the literary coach at Propel Northside Charter School. While she doesn't buy into the outdated idea of year-round brain work being dangerous, she does think kids need to blow off steam now and again.
Because when we go through long stretches where there isn't a vacation or something, there's a moment, I think, where students are overwhelmed and teachers are overwhelmed.
I'm going to Florida.
I'm going
to Hershey's Chocolate Factory.
Parents like Fred Turnbull and Ellison Barker might join that chorus.
No, I would think it would have something to do with just giving everyone a break, maybe.
Kids seem to need a break. I don't know if it needs to be in the summer, but it seems to be a nice time to do it.
But the Heinz History Center's Leslie Sibilic says summer vacation opened a whole new set of concerns for parents in the late 1800s and early 1900s.
At the same time that vacation gradually becomes more and more accepted and even expected, there's always that question about what happens if we're idle, that that's not necessarily a good thing, that you want people to take a break, but it needs to be a constructive break.
Fast forward to 2013, and now Megan Newsom is fully on board.
What we do here at Propel Northside is we do give them some sort of focus, something fun to do over the summer so that it does keep their brains working. And we provide them with ideas for different camps that they can go to, or if they want to go to the library and get involved in their free summer reading program, something like that. We give them a calendar And every day there's a different math problem and or writing and reading and science, something short, something small to do.
Newsom says it usually takes a few weeks after the students return in the fall to shake off the rust, but she says it happens rather quickly.
The key for literacy is to just make sure that they're reading. So we try to provide some nice reading lists, something where they can really have fun with reading, but just keep that going, because that's the biggest thing. They just need to practice reading over the summer, and they can keep all of that up.
But while teachers are thinking about preventing a so-called brain drain, others are looking at the economics of summer vacation and making sure it lasts as long as possible. Summer camps can be big business, and tourism is huge, especially in Pennsylvania, where it's the number two industry in the state. That has led to the introduction of House Bill 75 by Representative Robert Godshall of Montgomery County.
Well, the bill just actually says that schools can't open as far as kids go till the day after Labor Day.
Godshall says that Labor Day weekend is the biggest tourism weekend of the year, and making sure kids are not in school at the time is a top priority among tourism and hospitality leaders. He says he has heard of tourist attractions having to shut down before the holiday because of all their summer help quitting to go back to class. School districts in general fight the legislation every time it comes up for debate. But Godshall says parents approve of it by a 60-40 margin, and the older students like the idea.
You know, a lot of our kids down here in the Southeast were working at the Jersey Shore. Well, it got to the point that they were severely penalized if they left early, weren't hired the following year.
Schools argue they need to start before the holiday to get in the state-mandated 180 instructional days, but Godshall doesn't buy that argument. That debate, and the debate over the value of a summer break versus year-round school, will continue into the future, and that could be a case of history repeating itself.
We should remember that the question about school vacation is clearly a part of a larger and just as dramatic change in American culture about the expectations of who gets a vacation and what that means. It's something that has risen largely in the late 1800s and really past that as part of this larger change in how we work and how we spend our time. And it'll be interesting to see in the future how things like more and more virtual work will impact that.
And that could include virtual and cyber schools. I'm Mark Newbar, 90.5 WESA News.
Learn more about the impact summer vacation has on students' brains tomorrow as 90.5 WESA launches its series, Life of Learning.